It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Tom, do you have your Hokus on right now? The special running shoes that you're always wearing. Do you have them on now, Tom?
I do, and I use them not only around work, but running. And I found at this point, Nazi, as you get a little older, I cannot wear anything but Hokus.
It's true. It really, really is true. I was at the gym the other day, and we were doing some running, and I knew we were doing running. And make no mistake, I do have a variety of shoes, but there's nothing better for running than the Hokus. And I know that you're a big runner, so that's perfect.
And the only thing better than running in Hokus is your holiday sweater.
Get ready for the season.
There you go.
All right, what are we chatting about today? Who is our guest today?
Well, we have another famous person, Dr. Shannon Mills, who lives in Concord, but we're blessed. He's a nationally acclaimed dental scientist, has worked with me, and now he heads up the Concord Sealant Coalition. So Shannon right here is joining me. He's a dentist, a scientist. I would like to say an athlete and a scholar, but maybe leave it just as scholar.
Dr. Mills, do you have a pair of Hokas that you can go running in? That's what we want to know.
I am in my Olakais right now, which I live in. So not much for running, but great for comfort on the feet. So I do want to correct one thing, Tom. I'm not the head. I am just one of a member of a team with Sealant Coalition, but I am the supervising dentist. But we do have a board and a chair, just as you do. So
awesome.
I do play my role there, but I don't want you to overstate it.
but you obviously have a lead role in it. So let's talk about your background. But before I do, I just want to give a big shout out. Last week, we had Connie Roy-Jakowski, who you know, Shannon, very well. And Connie is finishing up a stellar career in human resources at the end of this year, December 31st. You worked with her many years. And we featured her in last week's show, and I've gotten a lot of accolades from people. As you know, she was not only well-known within Northeast Delta Dental, but probably everybody's go-to person in human resources. Not dissimilar to you, Shannon. When someone needs to know about infection control, they go to you, Shannon. When someone needed to go to a human resource expert, they went to Connie Roy-Jakowski. So we had Connie on the show last weekend. But this week, let's focus on you. We'll get to the Concord Sealant Coalition. But, of course, you've had multiple roles in your distinguished career, including two here at Northeast Delta Dental, where you were the vice president of professional relations and clinical strategies. And you also headed up Previsor for a time. So tell the world about your background, and then we'll get into the Concord Sealant Coalition.
Okay. Well, I don't want to belabor it too much, but I guess the big bulk of my life, I spent 28 years as a dental officer in the United States Air Force and brief sojourn in academia at the University of Nevada. And then the rest of my, go to work every day professional life was at Delta Dental. And both that, as you said, at professional relations and science in the big house, and then working with Provisor, the risk assessment technology that frankly, Tom, you had a great deal to do in making possible that it's generally available to dentists all over the world at no cost in order to enable them to do a better job of managing patient care. So, and I know our previous conversations have really focused a lot more recently on Provisor prior to my retirement. I've been trying to stay pretty busy. I'm still doing some pro bono things. One example is the Sealant Coalition, which, by the way, I started out doing that on behest of representing Northeast Delta Dental, and I just got in my blood, and I've continued to do it ever since. So I'm the secretary of the board and the supervising dentist.
And we'll get back to that. I do want to spend a couple minutes on Previsor, which, as you said, Dr. Mills, is transformative for the listening audience. There's been many shows on this, but if you're a Delta Dental subscriber and the hygienist, she or he puts you through the risk assessment, it's possible, depending on the evidence, that you might be entitled to an enhanced benefit, a third or fourth cleaning, fluoride varnish, things like that. If you're a smoker, hopefully not, a smoking cessation benefit, et cetera. And it has been totally transformative because, as you know, Shannon, maybe explain to the listening audience how that while the sort of two visits a year or two cleanings a year is not a bad benchmark, it really wasn't based on science. It was more or less based on a Pepsodent commercial. So tell us about that background.
Well, that's the truth. Back in 1929, on a radio show, and I'm not going to name the radio show because it's one we don't want to talk about too much anymore, but very popular radio show, there was an advertisement for Pepsodent, and the advertising guys came up with the ideas, use Pepsodent every day and see your dentist twice a year, which the American Dental Association, needless to say, thought was a grand idea. It's advertising, it's not science, but guess what? It works. Over the many, many years that we've done that, people have better health when they see their dentist twice a year. Once a year is probably fine for some, but here's the trick. Twice a year isn't enough for others. And because there are people who have higher risk for gum disease, what we call periodontitis, or tooth decay, caries, that benefit from seeing their dentist more frequently and receiving preventive treatment that keeps them from having the problems and end up in tooth loss or crowns or implants and keeping your natural teeth. It can be done, but sometimes it needs additional help. And fortunately, the folks led by you, the folks at Northeast Delta Dental recognize this, and we developed the innovative plan designs built around risk that I think are transformative. Not catching on around the country as fast as I think it should, like a lot of really good things, but it's working great at Northeast Delta Dental from everything I hear.
Yeah, it's been transformative. It's been better for population health. It's been better for dental offices who are doing more preventative benefits. From a marketing perspective, this was just more or less the icing on a cake. We didn't intend this, but it's worked out great. Once those enhanced benefits, the additional cleanings and visits are in the population of the employer, it's really almost impossible at that point to leave Northeast Delta Dental, because then you would be going back to an insurance carrier that has only two cleanings a year. So it's been great. Right. And I agree with you, Shannon, it hasn't flourished nationally as quickly as I wanted, but we have had many, many power users out there, the Delta plan in Oregon. Washington Delta is about to do a pilot. Idaho is using it very robustly, as is Oklahoma and South Dakota. And the key in all of this is having a leader, the leadership team at the Delta Dental Plan, being innovative. That's what I've discovered. It's not the size of the Delta Plan, but you need a CEO and someone like you that are, you know, willing to push it. So it's been transformative. It's better oral health for the population. And yes, the first few years you are doing more preventative benefits, but that's what you want. Yes. And then later you're doing less, you know, crowns and crown lengthening, et cetera. So I want to give you a shout out because you called it to my attention. And there used to be a favorite famous razor commercial. I liked it so much we bought the company, but that's what we did. Remember? We ended up purchasing, acquiring Previsor, and has really established Northeast Delta Dental as a preeminent thought leader in oral health. And towards it, and now let's segue into the Concord Seal It Coalition, which, as you said, you were involved with it from the very beginning as a Delta Dental employee. Then when you moved on to Previsor and then retired, although you're never retiring, you're back into it. But why don't you describe two things? What is a sealant, number one, and two, the Concord Seal It Coalition?
Okay. Well, sealants are a preventive care measure that's been around literally for decades. And what in teeth, all people have these grooves in their teeth. This is where a lot of the cavities that start, especially in children, start in those deep grooves in the back teeth. And the teeth, when they're being formed, close to different degrees. When they're not completely closed, food particles can capture in there. Bacteria can live in there. They can turn that substrate, the food, into acid, and they create cavities. And they can cause serious disability in children. What a lot of people don't know is the most common infectious disease in children isn't the common cold. It isn't COVID. It's tooth decay. It's an infectious disease caused by bacteria. I think we don't think of it that way sometimes. We just think of it as something that happens, but it really is. But if we can block and seal those grooves and make it inhospitable for those bacteria to live there, they can't make the cavity. It's going to happen. So we can wait for the cavity to happen and put a filling in it or do a baby root canal or pull the tooth out, or we can prevent it from happening in the first place. Now, improving the diet, getting the sugar out of the diet, it all plays a role too. The other thing that's really important is fluoride. Having fluoride in the drinking water, which makes the enamel tougher to begin with, and then adding topical fluoride at different intervals during the treatment intervals, which also then is absorbed by the tooth. All fluoride does is replace a oxygen and hydrogen atom in the matrix of the enamel with a fluorine atom, and that fluorine atom is just harder to dissolve. It's not rocket science. It's not magic. It's simple chemistry. And fluoride occurs naturally in a lot of drinking water, and those people who have fewer cavities. That's how we learned about it. That said, these are the two things that are the primary things we're applying in our sealant program with a little twist, which I'll talk about in just a minute, but something we're doing different because of a research program we're doing. But that's the basics of sealants.
All right, and so before we
plastic or another material called glass ionomer.
I know Nazi is going to be interested in this. Why are we still getting anti-fluoridation potential legislation when we all know every legitimate dental scientist, every insurance company, every dentist understands the importance of fluoridated water?
Welcome back to the second half of Northeast Delta Dental Radio with your host, Tom Raffio.
We all know every legitimate scientist, every dentist, every insurance company that fluoride has been the best thing for population health as it relates to oral health. Yet to this day, we're still fighting anti-fluoridation bills. And there's one coming up in Concord, which we're going to have to galvanize our group again, the Oral Health Coalition, the New Hampshire Dental Society, the Hygiene Association, the National Fluoridation Group, headed up by Dr. Johnny Johnson. And we have to gather that group again. And the only thing I can think of, Shannon, I'll take a crack at answering it, is that we have this notion of, live free or die. And the government shouldn't be involved with putting stuff in drinking water or whatever, but it is obviously the best thing that's ever happened for oral health. So why are we still fighting this battle?
I think you came pretty close to nailing one of the main reasons. There's a lot of reasons. You know, one of the problems we have is that, and I don't know how this has happened in our country, but we have people that simply distrust scientists. And they'd rather listen to gurus, and they'd rather listen to a conspiracy theorist than listen to scientists. And they don't understand how science works. But the science on fluoride is extremely solid. It's one of the single most important effective public health measures ever introduced. And we know about it because fluoride does occur naturally in drinking water. You know, if you're in New Hampshire and you have groundwater, there's a good chance you've got fluoride in that groundwater. You know, but we can't predict how much or how little, whereas in surface water, which most of us actually drink that have public water systems because we have so many lakes, it has to be added in because it's not present naturally in the surface water. So we try to get to an optimal level. Now, over the years, that level's varied because years and years ago, fluoride, we didn't have additional fluoride in toothpaste. So that number has been lowered. And people look at that and say, see, it is bad. They had to lower the amount because it was too much. The thing that happens if it's a little bit too high is that sometimes people can get some very mild tooth discoloration. Now, that discolored tooth area is not going to get a cavity, and it's extremely hard to dissolve. But we want to avoid that. So they've lowered the level that's recommended. But it's just simply a matter of science. Science changes as we learn more. And so these recommendations are going to change. People say, well, how come you can't get it right the first time? Well, because that's not how science works.
So, Shannon, I'm going to probably have to involve you in this this unfortunate debate that we're going to have again in January. Fluoride is a good thing, and we just want to, make that clear. Now, you mentioned the fact that for children, caries, tooth decay, toothaches are the number one infection disease. And I know this from my work when I was on the State Board of Education. Tooth decay was, after the common cold, the number two reason for lost school days.
Yep.
That's a fact. And as a CEO of an employer, oral health issues also create absenteeism as well. So I'm glad you did mention that. So let's get into the Concord Sealant Coalition. I've always loved following and tracking the metrics, because this has proven to be very helpful for, again, for population health as it relates to children. So tell us how it began. And I know that it's part of the National Institutes of Health study. Tell us what current activities are going on. Of course, I love seeing that you now have a little office up at 2 Delta as well. So tell us what's going on.
Well, the Zealand Coalition has been doing this work for over 16 years, which is predates my time on it. When I came to work in Northeast Delta Dental in 2007, shortly after that, you asked me if I would volunteer to be a member of their board of trustees, or on their advisory panel. We weren't a board then. We are now. We have a formal 501c3 status, and we're a formal charity. But at that time, we weren't. And I joined it, and I found it really, what they were doing, very rewarding. Now, we're just one. Concord is just one of numerous Sealant coalitions that have, at one time or another, been active across the state in our schools. We're part of a group. There's some others that are fairly active. We'll talk a little bit more about what COVID has done. But these programs collectively, without government support, through volunteers and through charitable contributions from great organizations, including Northeast Delta Dental, which has been a major help for us, we have been going into the schools with, now the people who go into the schools are professionals. They're dental hygienists and dental assistants, and in some cases, dentists who are at least in supervisory roles, who go into the schools and provide these preventive care treatments for kids. The parents have to sign an informed consent to participate, and they bring the kids in and they get the treatments at least once or sometimes twice a year, depending on the program. And collectively, the efforts of all these volunteer programs have dramatically reduced tooth decay in kids in New Hampshire, up to more than 30% reduction over a period of time as measured by Department of Health and Human Services. But like all volunteer programs, it's tenuous. They're always hanging by a thread. Sometimes it's one committed volunteer is the difference between the program working or not working. It's one charitable contribution from one organization that's the difference between whether there's a program or not a program. So, that's the challenge that we have when government doesn't, you know, if you can talk about limited government, you can say whatever you want, but when government doesn't step up to the plate to provide these services to support these kinds of programs, they reap the whirlwind. They reap extra cavities, absenteeism, more pressure on emergency rooms, higher costs for employers, and all kinds of other things that are not good for society, not good for our economy.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And of course, that's been true on the adult side with not having an adult dental Medicaid benefit, although it seems like we might have one, next July, obviously, when people defer, we hope, but if people defer dental care, then there's that all these medical dental issues, emergency room issues. So I think right on target with that. Now, you mentioned COVID, so I have an assumption that when children, because of COVID, were at home virtually learning, that probably they didn't have as much access to Sealants. That's the assumption I made. But tell me, what was the actual effect of COVID on Sealant activity?
Well, the net result statewide is that a number of the programs we had before back in 2019 are not operating anymore. They've closed. And I won't name them, and I won't name the numbers because they vary from day to day. But there's a significant, we have vastly fewer. I think, in fact, more of them have closed than not. So many schools around the state that formerly had sealant programs where they come into the schools and do the sealants are not getting that service right now. And that was because when they were closed, the hygienists and the assistants, the people that were working, they were being paid to do the work. Well, they had to feed their families. They had to take care of themselves. So many of them went and got other jobs. And to top it off, there was a shortage of dental hygienists in the state. And I think you're aware of that. It's a whole another topic. And because of that shortage, it wasn't any challenge at all for these people to go out and find other jobs. And so a lot of them left the sealant work and went into working in dental offices to fill in those gaps.
So Dr. Mills,
we're having challenges in reconstituting those programs statewide. Now, Concord, we kept ours together. I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. Oh, yeah.
And that's great. And you can always count on Delta Dental. And I think that's what you were talking about earlier, in New Hampshire, the need for the public-private partnership. That's just a reality. And so if a local community like Concord has a Delta Dental behind it, you know, the program continue to thrive. So let's talk about the future of the program. I do want to touch on the dental workforce. What Dr. Mills references there, we are starting a new initiative. There's definitely a shortage of hygienists and dental assistants, and some of that was related to COVID. And then, of course, if the hygienist is having trouble with daycare, meaning they can't get the kids back into daycare, then the hygienist has to stay home. It's kind of a vicious circle there. So we will be working with a lot of stakeholders and probably Shannon as well to see what we can do to correct that. About 15, 20 years ago, there was a shortage, and we quickly expanded the NHTI local community college program, and we really fixed the invisible hand relatively quickly. It remains to be seen if we can do it again this time. But tell us what you think the future holds for Sealant Coalitions. Again, given the reality that probably government isn't going to come in, can we get enough corporate support and benefactor support?
Well, I think we need that very desperately. We're very fortunate, and I'll mention something else, is we're very fortunate in our program and the statewide programs. Many of them were offered this opportunity, but we had the opportunity to be part of a research study being conducted with a grant from the National Institutes of Health. And this is in collaboration with New York University. And we're looking at comparing traditional sealants, which I mentioned earlier, which are either plastic or a mineral material we call glass ionomer, which are the traditional sealants, versus a product called silverdiamine fluoride, or it's a cavity preventing sort of a stain that we put in the teeth. It's a material that's got silver in it, and it's got some fluoride in it, and silver is antibacterial, and it works as well. It's easier to apply and lower cost over time. So we're looking at the cost comparison. We know they both work. We're looking at their effectiveness in terms of cost delivery.
And that silver diamine fluoride, I know that the Children's Medicaid program, which does exist, you know, uses it. So I see Nazi. So I'm going to give you the 30 seconds, Shannon.
That's
electric
right.
Toothbrush or manual toothbrush?
I think it depends on whatever you use best. I'm a manual guy, to be honest, but electric toothbrushes do really help a lot of people, and I think they're a good choice.
I love that answer because whatever gets you to brush your teeth robustly and regularly, if that's manual, manual, and if it's electric, electric.
Okay. Let me add floss as well. Brush the teeth and floss. Absolutely.
You know the drill. You got it. Tom, do I have a second for a call out, shout out real quick?
Sure. Absolutely. 15 seconds.
Really important to shout out to our dental hygienist who's been doing this job for 16 years, Mary Davis, certified public health dental hygienist, and our assistant, Brittany. This would be totally impossible without their diligence and dedication. And even when they could have gone off and got other jobs, they stuck with us because they cared so deeply about what we're doing. So I want to make sure that shout out goes out.
Nazi, I'm glad Shannon did that because you'll find that public dental hygienists and hygienists in general are really passionate about oral health and particularly oral health for our youth in New Hampshire. So thanks, Shannon, for that shout out. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Be sure to tune in next time.